1st, 2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. The weather is great here today. It's kind of chilly. It's just a wonderful day today. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. To see the guest lineup for this program and relevant links, please visit Spingola.com. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@Spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website, Spingola.com, or by going to Spingola.chatango.com. Remember, RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. My guest this first hour is Mike Campbell. He is the author of Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last. He published that on June 21st of 2012, and we had him on last year. He is the co-author with Thomas Devine of With Our Own Eyes, Eyewitness to the Final Days of Amelia Earhart, which was published in 2002. Mike is a member of the Amelia Earhart Society of Researchers. His website is earharttruth.com. All righty. Do we have Mike? We do? Oh, okay. We don't have Mike on the phone yet, so... Anyway, let me tell you a little bit about him. He spent 9 years as an active duty Navy print and broadcast journalist and 21 years as a civilian writer and Air Force public affairs officer. He retired in 2008. He is originally from College Park, Maryland. He is a 1974 graduate of the University of Maryland. After meeting Thomas E. Devine, author of Eyewitness, the Amelia Earhart Incident, in 1988, Campbell became convinced that Devine, Fred Garner, Paul Briand, and other Earhart researchers were correct when they proclaimed the presence and death of Amelia Earhart and Fred Noonan on Saipan after their disappearance in July 1937. 14 years of collaboration with Devine produced With Our Own Eyes, Eyewitness to the Final Days of Amelia Earhart, which I mentioned before, was published in 2002. All righty. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deanna. Thanks. We had a little phone problem. I'm glad we solved that.
So am I. I can really, only tell people just so much more about you without running out of information.
Well, you know, it's been almost a year, I guess, since you had me on. I want to thank you so much for asking me back again.
Well, I just love the information that you provided, the book. I mean, it's just fabulous. And things like this, I believe, are very important. It helps us to understand that, well, we really, really, really cannot trust the things that the government tells us, and we should look further to researchers such as yourself to really know what is going on and what has gone on.
Well, especially nowadays, I mean, people, even your average man in the street is becoming acutely aware that he's being lied to. I mean, this is, the lies about Amelia Earhart go way back 76 years. Tomorrow will be the 76th anniversary of her last flight.
Oh, how appropriate that we scheduled it for today.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
And also how appropriate it is that we are, again, this summer. Are you there?
Okay. Yeah, we're going to a real quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back. Be right back with you, Mike.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureEffect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureEffect Ultra today by visiting PureEffectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
This is Deanna, and our guest this hour is Mike Campbell. His website is airhearttruth.com. And Mike, we were talking about the average person on the street, and I can still hear that music. Okay. We don't need the background. All right, you were talking about the average person on the street that is actually beginning to understand that they have been duped for quite some time.
Yes, on a whole myriad of subjects that affect them. Actually, you know, frankly, more directly than the Earhart case. But the Earhart case goes back 76 years. And is one of the oldest lies in our culture, and it is one of the most firmly entrenched myths in our culture, Deanna, that what happened to Amelia Earhart is a mystery, one of the greatest mysteries of the 20th century. You can go just about anywhere, you know, different sources such as Wikipedia and other in dictionaries or encyclopedias, they'll all say that this is a great mystery. This is absolutely false. What happened to Amelia Earhart is not a mystery. It is not a secret, and it's available. The information is available to anybody that wants to find it. Now, recently, in the past month, once again, the American people have been bombarded with falsehoods about Earhart, about the International Group for Historic Aircraft Recovery, which has never recovered an aircraft, by the way. And what they have been up to, again, as they look toward going back to this island in the Central Pacific for the 11th time, which would be next summer, and there's been two huge publicity waves in the last month, promoting these falsehoods, these false ideas about what happened to Amelia Earhart. We've watched this now, Deanna, for 25 years. It's an unending cycle. It just goes back and forth. Every summer, every other summer, he goes over there, and every summer in between, he promotes another false idea about why he should go back and why he should be given money to do so. Now,
why do they keep pummeling the public with all of this false information? I mean, what is their problem? What is their objective?
Their objective, absolutely, is to keep the American people and the world stupid about what happened to Earhart. This is not difficult. This is not rocket science, or I could never have written this book, and I could have never understood what was going on. It's there for anybody who wants to find it. This is all about protecting the legacy of Franklin Roosevelt. 1937, we are almost 100% certain that he knew that they had her, the Japanese had her on Saipan, and he could not raise a finger to do anything about it. He had to keep it quiet. He had to keep it mysterious and a secret. This is all about still protecting his legacy. It's people will say no. It's not. It's too long ago. If you know, people that don't believe in what I'm putting in the truth, that don't want to know about the truth, that just defend this Democrat icon of the American left, they will always deny this. But the fact is that it's all about politics. Everything is either about politics or money, and money and politics are usually about money as it is. So that's
certainly
what it all comes back to.
Sure. And, of course, that era, the Roosevelt administration, so many things happened during that administration that they have to keep the lid on as many facts and as many intrigues as they possibly can, because, as you say, if they start uncovering all of these things that have been concealed, well, it's really going to look difficult, look bad for the administrations following his, because they've all been a part of the cover up.
Part of the things, some of the things that will be uncovered if the government ever had to come clean about the Earhart case, they would have to admit that they had the Japanese codes in 1937, that they had broken through. Some researchers have suggested that they have broken through and learned the codes, but the government's never admitted that they knew the Japanese codes, because they did. And that would then have to lead the government to admit Pearl Harbor and to admit that Roosevelt led the Japanese, invited them to attack Pearl Harbor so that he could start World War, so that we could enter World War II.
Right. And then that would lead to people believing, well, I wonder what else they've done. I wonder if they participated in 9/11. I wonder if they participated in some sort of a false flag with the Korean War. I wonder if they participated in some sort of false flag to go into Vietnam. I wonder if they did this or that, or, well, of course, they're going to start asking all these questions.
Exactly. It's actually in the big picture, it's all of a piece. And you know, but the only piece that I can see really clearly, you know, after 25 years is the Earhart piece. You know, and this is a piece that almost no one out there cares about. You're one of the very few people, one of the very few good people who have given me a voice, allowed me to, you know, to talk about what I've been working on for 25 years out of my life. It's pretty lonely out here, Deanna. You know, when you don't get, you know, hardly anyone ever pays attention. And then, you know, you have to look at the establishment and what they do and what they continue to do with the Earhart case. You know, taking a look at the latest thing that's coming out, Discovery News is the major culprit that starts this, that has started the latest publicity blitz, but everybody else just picks right up. NBC, ABC, CBS, everybody just picks it right up. They're all stenographers for the government media establishment. And the latest is lost photos reveal clues about Amelia Earhart. You know, if this wasn't so tragic, if this wasn't so outrageous, it would be hilarious. The way
exactly.
that they
Yes, you've already provided the entire case with all the evidence, with all the details. Your book is wonderful. It is available from Amazon. It is what? Almost 500 pages of facts and figures and details and evidence. And yet it's like you don't exist, like the book does not exist.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, we just don't exist. You know, it's just a few intrepid souls out there like yourself that'll give me a voice or print something that I write. But it's just, it's really tough work to breaking through this. I mean, if we've proven anything, I think, Diana, is that with this book, I think what we've proven that the establishment is set against information ever becoming known.
Oh, absolutely. And in your case, it, as well as in many other cases. And so it's, I congratulate you for writing this. I appreciate you for writing this. And it's just another piece of the puzzle that helps us to understand World War II and the fact that our government will allow and participate in the murder of its own citizens.
Thank you, Diana. Thank you. Yeah,
and then cover it up.
Are we looking at a break soon?
In 3 minutes.
Okay, good. We can get started. I think it's important that your listeners, that we talk about the Tigar situation just a little bit before we go into some of the evidence that, you know, the book presents. But I think people really need to understand what's going on with the Tigar Nicomoraro myth, because this is all... You know, this is all that the average American in the street knows. If he knows anything at all, he knows that this group went over to the Pacific and they found something and they think that this was from her plane and blah, blah, blah. You know, this is constantly being put out to the American public. This is all they know. And what's really incredible about this is that they never present an alternate scenario. It's as if... Rick Gillespie, who was the executive director of Tigar, it's as if he is the only person in the world that has any ideas about what happened to Amelia Earhart, and we should all listen to him, and that's it. There's nobody else knows anything. I mean, it's outrageous the way that it's not even journalism; it's absolute malpractice.
And of course, that is what the media promotes. They don't mention anybody else's name. And I believe that this is true and applicable to every other kind of falsehood or cover story that they are perpetuating. Remember that they have to be able to maintain the cover story for a number of years in order to have people believe it. And look at how long it's been, and yet they are maintaining the cover story because they are in charge of it.
Yeah, and it's really getting to be a bit much, you know. It really is. I just wish the American people were a little more curious about their history, about what's going on. Even now, I mean, we still probably have 50% of our population that are functionally illiterate. They just don't want to read anything, and if it's not on ESPN, they're not interested, you know.
Right.
And This is the culture that we have to break through, you know, and it's almost impossible, you know. But we should talk a little bit about Nicomoraro and Tigar, and show how this idea is such a third hand idea that's been dismissed by, you know, researchers far better than Gillespie a long time ago, and how there's absolutely no connection between the island and Amelia Earhart.
Right. All righty. We are going to a break in 4 seconds, and then when we come back, we'll pick this up.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Having problems with your mortgage? Have you heard of all the mortgage fraud? Could you be a victim? WhatLiesInYourDebt.com can help you turn harassing phone calls and letters into cold, hard cash. Discover how people just like you are making thousands of dollars holding debt collectors accountable for their misdeeds. Don't wait. Empower yourself today. Go to WhatLiesInYourDebt.com. We promise it pays to know. That's WhatLiesInYourDebt.com to find your solution. Having problems with your mortgage? Have you heard of all the mortgage fraud? Could you be a victim? WhatLiesInYourDebt.com can help you turn harassing phone calls and letters into cold, hard cash. Discover how people just like you are making thousands of dollars holding debt collectors accountable for their misdeeds. Don't wait. Empower yourself today. Go to WhatLiesInYourDebt.com. We promise it pays to know. That's WhatLiesInYourDebt.com to find your solution.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Mike Campbell. He is the author of Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last. It was published on June 21st, 2012. It has been out just a little over a year. His website is EarhartTruth.com. So tell us a little bit about the flight and where the government says that they were and where they actually were and what they were doing. Why did they take this flight?
Well, Deanna, the flight was part of their world trip to circumnavigate the equator, as close to the equator as they could. And Amelia was trying to become the first woman to do that. Wiley Post had already done that a few years earlier. She was trying to do this, and it was supposed to be the high point of her career. And from there, she was going to retire into glory, and everybody was going to live happily ever after. It was a very risky thing to do. It wasn't easy at all by any measure in those days, and we still don't know exactly. We don't know all the answers about why actually she did not reach Howland Island. There's so much that's not clear still. I mean, she was never on the radio for more than 7 or 8 seconds. She was acting as if she did not want to be tracked by the Itasca, the ship, the Coast Guard cutter that was off Howland Island. Her behavior was very strange, which has led many researchers to suggest that she missed Howland Island on purpose, and she wound up at Milly Atoll in the Marshall Islands, where we have so much evidence that's where she landed. From Milly Atoll, if she was picked up by the Japanese, she was taken to Japanese military headquarters at Jellawit. Then from Jellawit, he was taken to Kwajalein and finally to Saipan. We have witnesses at every step of the way, multiple witnesses, especially on Saipan. They were held as spies in Saipan. The Japanese were in their pre-war buildup side, and they were when they found her at Mili, the Marshall Islands were the mandated to the Japanese by the League of Nations in 1920. The Japanese were not nice. They did not allow the United States Navy to search the Marshalls for Amelia, which was the first thing that we asked them. They said, no, you cannot come in here. You're not allowed in here. So, but they assured us that they, you know, that they did a search and everything, and they couldn't find anything. Well, we have witnesses that contradict that lie also. The Japanese have also been lying about this ever since July 2nd, 1937. As I was saying, they wound up on Saipan, and that's where they died, on Saipan. This is not a secret. The evidence is out there. It all began with Fred Gerner's book in it began with Paul Brehan's book, Daughter of the Sky, in 1959, where he started the book as a biography and he ended it after he found the account of Josephine Blanco Akiyama, who as an 11-year-old saw Amelia come into Tanapag Harbor. She's in a seaplane, most likely, with Noonan. She told a dentist on Saipan. That story got to Paul Briand. He ended his book, Daughter of the Sky, with that information. And from there, Fred Gerner, who was a KCBS newsman in San Francisco, jumped on that story immediately, went to Saipan four times before publishing his 1966 bestseller, The Search for Amelia Earhart. That book is absolutely loaded with original eyewitness research and testimony that absolutely establishes her presence and death on Saipan. That book was a bestseller, the only book that's been a bestseller about Earhart ever, because soon after that book was published, the establishment came down extremely hard on Gerner's book, trashed it, said it was basically worthless, and from then on, the truth about Saipan has been suppressed at every turn.
Oh, well. So, since that period of time,
there was one book in. Now, I got involved with this in 1987 when I read Thomas E. Devine's book. Actually, his book was published in 1987. I witnessed the Amelia Earhart incident. Now, that book was about Devine's experiences on Saipan during the summer of 1944. He was a postal sergeant in the Army's 244th Postal Unit. In that, in early July 1944, during the Battle of Saipan, Devine and others knew and saw the Earhart Electra on Saipan. Devine was one of the few that actually saw it destroyed. He came home with this on his shoulders, thinking that it was going to be taken care of by the government, and it was certainly taken care of, but not the way he expected. He expected this to all to come out, but it never did. So he spent the rest of his life trying to establish what he knew to be true. And he was not a writer, but he wrote this outstanding book in 1987. It came out. He probably spent 20 years or more on it. And I read his book when I was doing research for a story on the Earhart, an overview-type story. And I met him that way, and from there on, I just became completely hooked on this and just engrossed. And at the end of Devine's book, he asked any of the GIs that were on Saipan with him to come forward and contact him and support his story, you know, because he was at that point he was a lone wolf with this. With the GI on Saipan angle. We have the Gerner evidence that came from his early 60s investigations, but we didn't have the GI evidence until Devine came forward. Gerner mentioned a few GIs had contacted Gerner, but not Devine. Until
Mike, I'm sorry, we do have to cut. We have to go to a break, and we'll pick this up on the other side. This is so fascinating.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
For many years, coffee lovers have learned that for the freshest coffee, you need to roast your own beans. Unfortunately, that usually meant paying more per pound for coffee than you could get it at the local grocery. Those wanting to store rich coffee for long-term use have been frustrated with the lack of quality coffee available with a long shelf life. So we usually settle for brand-name coffee, either ground or instant. But now, we have another solution. Canned green coffee beans. Green coffee beans have not been roasted. And since the bean is not cracked yet, the shelf life is many years longer than roasted or ground coffee. Due to the way it's packed, you can expect these to stay fresh for 20-plus years. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order your canned green coffee beans. A single can is only $11.94. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. CampingSurvival.com. Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, superfam and super male plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, cow mag vitamin D, MSM sulfur capsules, and elderberry power capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest this hour is Mike Campbell. He is the author of Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last, published on June 21st, 2012. His website is earharttruth.com. This is a very, very fascinating book, people. You really need to purchase this book. It is very well documented, hundreds of footnotes, all of this evidence, and yet we have Time Magazine and the Smithsonian and all kinds of other official institutions, official mouthpieces come out and really fall.
Anna. Sorry, we've had some technical difficulties here. Our guest this hour is Mike Campbell. He is the author of Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last. It was published in June of 2012. And immediately afterwards, well, didn't get any publicity. And, of course, the earlier writers who presented the facts, you had Time Magazine and other institutions come out and try to destroy their evidence and their story. Mike, are you with us?
Yes, I'm with you. Thanks, Deanna. Sorry about that problem.
Yeah, I don't know. It must be EH, electronic harassment. They don't want this story to get out.
It could well be. I mean, really, if it is, I guess you should be flattered that they think you're important enough to bother. They certainly haven't bothered me any. They just left me alone.
Oh, my. Well, that isn't... they should be listening to you and reading your book. So it's a fabulous book.
Thank you. And you know, we really do need some support out there. I still believe that we can break through, but it's up to a lot of people. It's not just up to me. I've done everything I can. I continue to do that. But, and you know, as I wrote in a recent piece, it's just, there's no one of any stature, I'm talking huge celebrity type stature, that's ever grabbed onto this cause, has ever stood up for this cause. Everybody just runs away from this, Deanna. Everybody just, they don't want anything to do with it. It's like they're scared to death of it or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the government. Because when in 1967, when all the declassified files were made public and everything, and then all of a sudden, the media turned against Garner. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yes.
And from that time forward, it's been a dead issue. They do not want this out.
There was a good book that was written, and it was a book that presented some very important information in 1985 by Vincent V. Loomis, Amelia Earhart, The Final Story. That was put out by Random House, surprisingly, an establishment publisher.
Mm-hmm.
And William Buckley's magazine... not the American Spectator, but another, the very well-known conservative magazine, right now the name is escaping me, reviewed that book. A guy named Jeffrey Hart reviewed that book, and he was writing for Buckley's magazine, and he said, this book should put to rest all the debate. The truth is out, the Japs had her, the Japanese had her, and let's let Amelia rest in peace because the mystery has been solved. This is what Jeffrey Hart said in 1985, but nobody got the memo. He just, those words went on deaf ears. And then we had Devine come in 1987 with his book, which was largely suppressed. However, there was a breakthrough of sorts in 1990, which is now 23 years ago, when Devine and Robert Wallach, who found the briefcase, Amelia Earhart's briefcase, in a safe on Garapan, on Saipan, those two were... featured on an Unsolved Mysteries program in 1990 with Robert Stack, you know. But that program is the last time that Devine was shown or even mentioned in any sort of public media. And that program, that Unsolved Mysteries program, was like a one-off. It was like... Once it was done, they did it, but they didn't know they were supposed to do it, and nobody's done it since. Wallach was, though, he was interviewed by Connie Chung in 1994, Robert Wallach, on Eye to Eye. But Wallach was very media friendly, and he was treated as some sort of a circus aberration that he found Amelia Earhart's briefcase. He never put it all together on air or wasn't allowed to. That's it, really. I mean, outside of those weird examples, and the National Geographic station, the TV station, they did one episode in 2007, I believe, that presented Saipan. But nobody watches the National Geographic Channel. I mean, hardly anyone knew about it. And so there are rare exceptions to this establishment blackout of the truth, but very rare.
And aren't they still controlled like Random House? I'm certain that the Random House version of the story was not as complete and detailed as yours. And so they probably felt, okay, we're going to cover it. We're just not going to do the complete job so that people will just forget it, read it, and then go on.
It could well be so. The book was not well written. It was not well presented either. I mean, there was...
Okay. That's it. That's the government issue.
It could have been, you know, to actually discredit the idea. I mean, it was so poorly done. But, I mean, for researchers such as myself, we found so much in it of value because there was so much eyewitness stuff that was presented in there of the Marshall Islands witnesses. That's what Vincent V. Loomis presented pretty well. But, I mean, it's only, as you say, you know, it could be like a false opposition type thing that the establishment might have, because they certainly didn't nix the book. The Random House is pure establishment.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
Yeah. So,
but then they can control it. They can control the dialogue.
Yeah. They could well have been, even in 1985. But, anyway.
So you had these witnesses, you were talking about these witnesses, and you talked to many of them. There were like a couple dozen of these veterans who were there. And that, I think, is a very credible witness because they actually saw and were there and came forward.
Absolutely. We have, I talked to several of them. I don't know about all two dozen of them. I have copies of all their letters. I interviewed several of them, especially Robert Wallach and Erskine Neighbors, two of the major witnesses. I am not alone in this either. As far as presenting Saipan, there's recently in the last several months, a guy named Rich Martini, who is a Hollywood director and writer, has been to Saipan to interview whoever he could find. He claimed to have found a few old witnesses that weren't mentioned in other sources, and he also was over there digging near the airfield to try to find the plane, which was seen to be burned and buried in rubble at the old Esleto airfield, which is near the site of Saipan International Airport. Now, this was big news on Saipan, Deanna, that this guy, this Hollywood guy, went over there to try to find more evidence about Earhart being there. Not one single media organization in this country did a story about Martini on Saipan just recently in the past couple of months. This gives you an idea of the resistance in the establishment media to any mention of Saipan. They wouldn't even mention it.
Well, that certainly says a lot, and it also tells us that there is an organization, an organized effort to conceal the truth. And I think we can apply the same principle to every other situation where you have a group of people or an organized effort to cover things up and then lash out or vilify the single person or the sole person or the few people who are telling the truth. There's so much dissension and so much vilification that people don't even, they ignore you or just don't even,
They've been so successful, Deanna, at this, at creating a mystery out of the Earhart, of Amelia Earhart and Fred Noonan's deaths on Saipan. They have been so successful at this that they don't even have to bother with me. They figure it's just nobody's going to pay any attention to me at all.
Yeah, and because you're some sort of a nut, right?
Yeah, exactly. They have marginalized, you know, they have statements like in Wikipedia where they say Saipan is an urban myth that is not supported by any mainstream historians, you know, and they leave it. That's it. If they say anything about Saipan, they'll say that. And they'll say, natives are, Gillespie will say, well, the natives are, it's a folklore of, a festival of folklore, and all these people are nuts. They just marginalize everybody with the big C letter, the conspiracy theorist letter, you know, and that's it. And that's sufficient because it's become part of the culture. That it's a mystery that can't be solved.
And
nothing could be further from the truth.
Is Gillespie's background? What is he?
Apparently some sort of an aircraft accident investigator, you know, in his former life before he latched onto the Earhart thing, which has become his meal ticket. You know, I'm not a mind reader, as I've said. I'm I can't be certain whether he actually believes the nonsense that he puts out about Nicol Maduro or not. But it doesn't matter, because the effect is the same. The establishment has used Gillespie and used this idea for the past 25 years to direct people, to direct the public away from the truth. So that there's something there. They filled the vacuum with all this falsehood. This idea about Nicol Maduro was looked at a long time ago, as I said earlier in the show. And it's just, it doesn't fly. The dog won't hunt. She was never there. 10 trips to the island, and he's dug up garbage from people that used to live there, different pieces of garbage, and tried to link that garbage to her or Noonan unsuccessfully in every single case because she wasn't there.
Amazing. And because he gets so much press, of course people are going to believe him, and that disqualifies you because...
Yeah, and what's really tough is where you see the comments at the bottom on the online stories, and you see the reader comments, whatever comments there are to Gillespie's to the latest news. For example, with the photographs that were found in New Zealand, the headline itself is a complete lie. Lost photos reveal clues about Amelia Earhart. They did no such thing. The photos revealed nothing except some photos that were taken in 1938 by a New Zealand Pacific survey that was done of the island in preparation for Gilbert T. settlers that were coming in. And they show nothing at all about Amelia Earhart, but apparently one of the photos has a footprint or a set of footprints that Gillespie is saying could have been of Amelia Earhart. I mean, really? Can you really? I mean, is this the best they can do? I mean, it's getting to be such a travesty. Such a travesty.
Indeed. Who was one of the most famous witnesses that you talked with?
Well, I think that I talked with, I would say, Robert Wallach, Thomas Devine, and Erskine Neighbors. I mean, they were the GIs. But Fred Gerner's, we have three flag officers, okay? Forget the GIs, the enlisted types. We have three U.S. flag officers whose accounts I'd like to get in before we finish
okay.
up.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
How much time do we have before the next break?
1 minute.
Okay, we'll talk about Admiral Nimitz first. In 1965, the great Admiral, Fleet Admiral Chester Nimitz, told Fred Gerner in a conversation, Fred, now that you're going to Washington, I want to tell you Earhart and her navigator did go down in the Marshalls and were picked up by the Japanese. This revelation from Nimitz was huge for Gerner in his investigations because it gave him all the, the confirmation that he needed that he was on the right track. And, Gerner wrote that after 5 years of effort, the former commander of U.S. naval forces in the Pacific was telling me it had not been wasted.
Wow. And that was in 1965 that they...
1965, a year before Gerner's book came out. So this from Nimitz was included in his book, in Gerner's first book, or Gerner's book, The Search for Amelia Earhart. Now I have two more from other flag officers that were not included.
All righty, tell us about that when we come back from the break. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372 or go to terravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
How would you like to own land? A refuge to escape from big cities, possible food shortages, the collapse of the dollar, or just a vacation trip is now available to you. Lots of fishing and hunting are available just across the Rio Grande River. Own your personal Colorado Wilderness RV lot within three stones' throw of the Rio Grande River for $1,395. Quarter acre lots, county road access. All lots come with warranty deed. All just for $1,395. Call 785-672-3141. 785-672-3141. Or go online to ColoradoRiverLots.com for more information and to see photos. It is away from civilization, a good business investment, and a low-cost protection plan. Call today, 785-672-3141.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Back. This is Deanna, and our guest is Mike Campbell. He is the author of Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last, published last year about this time. His website is EarhartTruth.com. All righty, we were talking about Nimitz, and that he was one of the first higher-ups that really said, well, this is what happened. So tell us about the other two.
Well, in November 1966, Deanna, just a few months after the search for Amelia Earhart was released, retired General Graves B. Erskine, he was a Marine Brigadier General. He was a deputy commander of the V Amphibious Corps during the Saipan invasion. In other words, he was in the middle of everything that was happening on Saipan during the invasion of 1944. He accepted Gerner's invitation to come to the studios at KCBS in San Francisco, and while waiting to go on the air with Gerner, Erskine told Jules Dundies, who was the CBS West Coast vice president, and Dave McElhatt, a KCBS newsman, quote, "It was established that Earhart was on Saipan. You'll have to dig the rest out for yourself." This is what Graves Erskine told two of Gerner's close friends, associates. Why he didn't tell Gerner this on the air, I don't know. This is what we have, and I think Erskine was just wasn't quite ready to do that, to release that on publicly at that time. Okay, now 5 years later, we have General Alexander A. Vandegrift. Now he was the 18th Commandant of the Marine Corps. He was huge in the Second World War. He privately admitted the truth to Gerner in a handwritten letter in 1971, August. Vandegrift wrote to Gerner, I'm quoting now, "General Tommy Watson, who commanded the 2nd Marine Division during the assault on Saipan and stayed on that island after the fall of Okinawa, on one of my 7 visits of inspection of his division, told me that it had been substantiated that Miss Earhart met her death on Saipan," unquote. This is what Vandegrift told Gerner in a letter.
Well,
he added, "That is the total knowledge that I have of this incident. In writing to you, I did not realize that you wanted to quote my remarks about Miss Earhart, and I would rather that you would not." You can see that even Vandegrift tell him this, but he wanted to tell Gerner this for the same basic reason that that Nimitz did, because he wanted to encourage Gerner and to let him know that he was right, he was on the right track, but that he really didn't want to be held responsible then, because even at his late age, and he died 2 years after this letter was written, he was afraid of recriminations.
Well, of course. He knew how the system worked, and he knew, and both of those gentlemen, well, all three of them actually knew how the system worked, and certainly didn't want to be punished or have any recrimination against them.
That's right. I'm glad that they did say something. Yeah, I'm sorry. All three of them died within a year or two of their revelations to Gerner. So they figured that, I mean, they had very little to lose at that time, you know, and actually only Nimitz's comments were made public. The other two were never made public.
Oh, my. Okay. Unfortunately, we have run out of time. We need to do this again, Mike. I hope that you will come back.
Sure, I'll come back.
All righty, and I hope people buy your book.
Me
too. It's a great book. Thank you.